Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Release me.
Release me.
Release me.
Release
me. Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Release me.
Release me.
Release
me. Oh, take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Take the limits off.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. He will supply. Somebody somewhere knows that God is a supplier. Somebody somewhere knows that he will just show up and show out. He is my supply. He is El Shaddai. I heard someone else call him El Rofi. I've heard him call so many names. He's a God of healing. He's a God of salvation. He's a God of deliverance. He's a God. He's my resource. He is. I'm sorry, Lord. My bad. He's my source. Yeah. That's it. He's my source. That sends resources. He is my supply. He is my all and all. I heard Ezekiel call him a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Yeah. He is my God. Yeah. You know, when it, oh my God, overflow, Jesus. Our scripture text comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, starting at the 12th verse. Philippians chapter 3, starting at the 12th verse. I'll be reading the King James Version, and it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ." 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me Ah, my God. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. 14 says, I press. Ooh, somebody just ought to say, I press. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word of God is already blessed. Amen.
Never, never, never. Church say amen. Let the church say amen again. The blood will never lose its power. I believe that there's witnesses online or streaming with us who recognize that the blood does not lose its power, that the blood has kept us thus far, and we're trusting and we're believing that the blood will carry us through this day. Amen. Amen. Welcome once again to this, the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. I am Reverend Darrell Person, the senior pastor, and I am excited that you are here with us today. And as Minister Dr. King has said, that you could have chosen any place other than our live stream to be, but you chose to be here, and for that we are grateful, and you are welcome, and we pray that something that is said, that something that is uttered or even sung will speak to the needs of those of you who have gathered with us this morning. We are grateful today to just make a couple of announcements. We are going to continue to be praying for the Liberty Baptist Church in the passing of their senior pastor, Reverend Darrell Lamar Jackson. They celebrated his life this past weekend and Friday, I believe, and we certainly, Ebenezer, certainly sent our condolences as a faith community to Liberty Baptist Church. We also want to continue to pray for Brother Calvin Malone, who we hear is out of the hospital, but his residence caught on fire, and we don't know the extent of the damage. We're waiting to get a report so that we can mobilize ourselves as his faith community to do whatever we can to help him during this time. Also, we want to make mention that during this season of Lent, Ebenezer has committed to do a few things as we are mindful of this season of Lent. First, we are going to read through the New Testament. I hope you have been following along as we read through the New Testament. If you have not yet joined us, you can certainly go to EbenezerBronzeville.org and you can see the reading schedule as we read through Lent. That's number one. Number two, we are purposing to have corporate prayer every Wednesday at 6:15, right before our Bible study, which is on the Zoom, our Zoom platform. And we hope that you will be joining with us as we pray and intercede on behalf of others. We know that if we are going to be the church that God calls us to be, that we need to gather together in prayer. I know you can pray in your own domiciles and residences. I know you can do that. I know you pray over your meal and you pray when you get up and when you go out. But we want to come collectively together in prayer, particularly during this season of Lent. And then we're doing a couple of community outreaches, ministerial outreaches. We are doing very well with getting socks for our women's shelter. We've purposed to get socks for women's shelter in Ebenezer and our friends. You are doing well. We will cut that off at the end of this week. At the end of this week, we will have everything. We hope to have everything that we need, and we will then make preparations to deliver that to the women's shelter. Also, we have also have an outreach to the homeless. We are doing what we're calling Warm Hearts Community Outreach, and it is our effort to try to make a difference to some of our homeless men and women who are outdoors. I know the weather has gotten a little bit better in Chicago during the daytime. But at night, it still is cold. Reason why I know, because the heat is on still in my house. And we want to make certain, we want to make certain that we can do a small part. And if you want to help us, we're asking our members and friends and e-members to go to our website. And on our website, you can donate $27 to our Warm Hearts Community Outreach. We're going to be putting together a nice little box. And in that box will be a hat and gloves and scarf and warm socks. And also an energy bar to give to our homeless men and women who are in Chicago. Now, we are not a great big church, but we're going to do what we can where we can. Can somebody say amen? We're going to do what we can where we can and try to do something. So if you can donate $27, we would be grateful. Now, that's the minimum you can donate. That will take care of one box. But if you want to do $270 or $2,700, you can do that too. It will be utilized for the homeless here in Chicago, in our area of influence. We are so excited also to give also notice that very soon and very soon, we are in preparations even right now to begin to receive members back in our faith community in person. But we recognize that when we come back in, it is going to be different. We still have to wear our mask. We are encouraging our members to get vaccinated. I'm going to be a witness. I know there are others who are on the stream and who are a few dotted in our sanctuary who have taken the vaccine. And I have come out fine. I don't have any issues, any concerns, no problems. And I haven't gotten a bad report from any of our members. So we are encouraging our community, our faith community, to go get vaccinated. That will help us out and allay some of the fears and concerns of other members who have not yet gotten the vaccine. And so when we come back in the building, we will be wearing masks and we still will be social distancing until we are certain that it's safe to stop that practice. Amen. Amen. So please stay tuned for more information regarding our return to worship, in-person worship here at Ebenezer. But for those of you who are watching online and over the radio, we're going to still be conducting services this way as well. This tool will never go away. This is now a part of the camera and the radio. All that's a part of the worship service here at Ebenezer. Amen. Amen. Those are all the announcements. And at this time, we prepare for our music ministry. Amen.
Falling in love with Jesus, the best thing I've ever, ever done. In his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. The best thing I've ever, ever done.
In love with Jesus. That's that'll preach by itself too. Falling in love with Jesus. That's what it say, there's no place I'd rather be. Yes, that's good. That's good right there. Y'all just forgive me. Sometimes I it ain't about y'all. I'm just talking about him. I just have to just go there sometime. Amen. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever done. It was, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Ever done. Yeah. Then it says something about in his arms. I feel protected. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, in his arms. Yeah, never disconnected. Yeah, that's rich, y'all. That's rich. My. Yeah. Nothing wrong with worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah.
Again, we are grateful one more time just to be here, God. But we're asking right now that you would help us out in this best way. It is offering time. It is offering time. It's offering time. It's giving time. It's tithe and offering time. This is that part of the service where, look, y'all heard me saying the words, not singing the words, right? There's a reason behind that. So this is the time where you can do your best part and give, right? You can worship in giving. You can worship in giving. We can worship in giving. So look, let me help you all out. Today, we're adding some stuff to our website right now, so and some people kind of, you know, we anxious to do stuff, so we jump the gun sometimes. So in the process of doing that, the giving button on the website is down, but watch this, you can still give. Come on now, you can still give. That will be up and running sometime tomorrow afternoon, if not tonight. So you can still give, but there's another way you can give, right? You can text to give. That's on your screen right now. You can text to give. The number is right there. So for those of you who've been used to going and doing it on the Give Now button, try a new way today. Text to give. You can do that right now. If you don't mind, go ahead and try that. And then guess what? The mail still works. I know they've been a little behind, but the mail still works. The mail still works. And guess what? The snow is up off the ground. You can actually walk the street and drive. Why not drive by and drop it off? You know the location, 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60653. Go ahead and drop that off or mail that in to us. But for those of you who are technologically savvy, you want to wait until tomorrow, guess what? We don't mind. Maybe the Lord might ask you to increase your gift because he gave you an extra day. So that's all right. That's all right. Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all. Giving, but I was asked to do this, and I think it's only right. You all have a special opportunity coming up. The pastor's second year anniversary is coming up.
And I know it's easier to give online. So do us this favor. When you go to give online, when you give the offering, the general offering, just put in the comments. Put in the comments for Pastor's anniversary, so that way they know to take those particular gifts and put them to the side. I don't know if there's a tab in there already for it. It might already be one, but of course we can't see it right now. But go ahead and do that as well. And then watch this. Next week, we'll make sure that you guys have his direct link so y'all can send it directly to him. It ain't got to come to us. So it can go directly to him. So that he can have a little token of something to show him how much you love and appreciate your pastor. Amen. So go ahead and do that. Drop that in there as well. You can text to give that as well. Just put that in the comments. Just say in the comments, because the finance people will see it. You know, so there you go. There you go. Amen.
Keeps on doing great things for me. He keeps on doing great things for me. If I had 10,000 tongues, I'd praise him for everyone. He keeps on doing great things for me. Oh, he keeps on doing great things for me.
If you out there listening, join us. Come on.
He keeps on doing great things for me. Doing great things for me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There are a few names that I want to lift this morning in prayer. And we are hoping and praying that in the midst of their season that they will have a testimony that God is yet still doing great things for them. We're remembering in prayer Mary Alexander, Reverend Mary Alice Gray Grant. We're lifting in prayer Deacon James Smith, Imogen McCray, Rob Martin, Grace Lee. We're lifting in prayer Shirley Anderson, Mary Sumter, Kenneth Sexton, Janie Burns, Sarah Phillips. We're lifting in prayer. We're continuing to pray for Stanley Stovall in his complete restoration. And also we're lifting up Lenora Hams. We continue to pray for those who are experiencing grief right now. We come before this altar knowing that God is a God that hears our prayers. And not only does he hear them, but he answers them. So we go before the throne of grace at this time. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to call on your name. God, we are thankful for what you have done by allowing us to see a brand new day. God, you didn't have to wake us up, but you did, and for that we are grateful. God, we ask right now those names that were mentioned today, oh God, that you would bless them in a special kind of way, oh God. There are many who are in need of healing. There are some who are in need of a financial breakthrough. There are some who are still yet suffering from the disease that we have been fighting for almost for a year now. We're lifting them up right now, oh God. We're lifting up those, oh God, who are caregivers right now, God, those who are been given the responsibility to care for loved ones right now. Strengthen them, oh God. Give them the courage and the strength, oh God, to continue to serve their loved ones. God, we're lifting up Ebenezer, and we're lifting up all churches that are open in your name. We are lifting up Liberty Baptist Church and the family of Pastor Jackson right now, God. The pastor emeritus of Liberty, lifting up Andrew Hunt. Pastor Andrew Hunt, the senior pastor, right now. We continue to pray for them as they grieve as a faith community. God, we're asking that you will continue to bless us in the work that you've given unto our hands. God, give us increase right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bind us together, oh God, as a faith community so that we can make our mark and continue to make our mark in our community, oh God, and beyond. God, we're lifting up our children. We're lifting up those who are in school right now, those who are away from family and friends, oh God, even in the midst of this pandemic. And God, as we're beginning to hear that vaccines are becoming more available, God, we pray for wisdom that those who have concerns, oh God, will do the research, read the information, oh God, and make the best decision for themselves. God, we are asking that you will speed up that day when we can release the mask from our mouths, that we can embrace our loved ones, and that we can gather together as a faith community. God, we ask that you would bless the balance of this service in the hopes that something that is said and uttered will speak to the needs of those who are gathered. We lift now this prayer upon the wings of the morning and place it before thy feet. To the all-wise God, we pray, and for his sake we do pray. And all of God's people say it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and take pastoral privilege and just go right on in. The hour is far spent already, and we know we have communion, virtual communion, and I don't want to wear out our musicians and our vocalists, and they can come back doing communion. I will say, though, we are happy that next Sunday we will be celebrating my second pastoral anniversary, and we are grateful that my big brother and friend of many, many years, Reverend Dr. Henry Barlow, will be the guest speaker here at Ebenezer. He has consented to come and participate in our virtual worship service. He wants to experience what we have been doing with our amazing media ministry, what they have done. They don't have all that we have been able to do at Morning Star, and this is not a criticism, but he certainly is pleased to be able to come here to Ebenezer. Normally, a pastor who is serving doesn't get a chance to come during morning worship because he's usually at, or she's usually at their church. But Dr. Barlow was able to get away and will be with us next Sunday. I also want to make mention Ebenezer. We know that the vaccine is becoming more and more available, and we know that I think the media ministry has the telephone number for the United Center, and maybe at the end of the worship they can put that back up. We are encouraging our members to get vaccinated. We often complain in our community that the African-American community, the various health disparities that we suffer, we complain that there's not enough healthcare in our communities. They're wanting to close hospitals in our community, and we complain, and rightly so. We complain about the health disparities in our community. But then when we have a vaccine, we don't want to take it. Now, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on television. But I do know it doesn't make sense to complain about not having access. And then when they make it available, we don't take advantage of it. And I can speak with conviction because I have been directly impacted by this dreadful disease. And I don't want anybody to have to go through what we have had to go through. And so I'm encouraging this, and I know I'm about to preach, but I want to put that out there. And at the end of the worship, we're hoping they'll be able to get that number up so that our members can call and get an appointment so they can get that. It's up there now. Thank you. So that they can get that vaccine. And later this month, my wife, Dr. Pamela Pearson, she don't use person professionally, but Dr. Pamela Pearson will be on TTLO Radio talking about vaccines, and because she participates directly through testing and vaccinations and all those kinds of things. So she's going to share her expertise and her knowledge to our community. So stay tuned for that. I want to speak from the subject, what is your one thing? What is your one thing? We are used to saying hindsight is 20/20. And of course, it's referred to in the fact that when we look at things after the fact, so to speak, that there are many things we would not have done if we had known the ultimate ending. I mean, think about it, this pandemic, what would you have done? I certainly would have bought some stocks in mask and Lysol and toilet paper. I would have bought some stocks. Maybe I would have frequented a few more of my favorite restaurants. I probably would have took a trip somewhere knowing that we're going to be on lockdown. I certainly would have spent more time with my dad. Not one of us here today or watching online can look back on our lives and not wish we had a do-over or two. When we are making decisions, though, involving the future, we don't have the luxury of going on ahead to see what the future holds so that in turn we can make proper decisions as we move forward. You see, we have to go with the information we have at the time. We have to pray for God's wisdom, direction, and peace, and then simply we got to go forward. But as we continue on in this year, just the fact that we can turn the page on 2020, even though 2020 is still lingering in a sense, and put it in our rear view, probably does all our hearts some good. Yet we must remind ourselves that a simple turning of the calendar from one day to the next or one year to the next does not fix it all. I found in my life that when I've done this, I usually think of a number of things I want to change in or improve my life or ministry in. And to be honest, I think it becomes too many at one time. But here in Philippians 3:12-14, it says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, beloved, Paul was a spiritual giant in the eyes of the Philippian believers. He had become a believer, as most of you know, while he was on the road to Damascus as Saul. And you know the story, though, the one who took great joy in persecuting believers in this new way called Christianity. At the point of the writing of this letter, it is believed that it was 30 years after his salvation and encounter with Christ. He had established many, many, many churches and escaped the shipwreck, gone through unbelievable persecution, and was looked at with great awe and respect. Yet, this scripture is a reminder of his humility. Humility that may have come into his life as he went through these many trials because of his stated goal of knowing Christ. What is your one thing? Our one thing is knowing Christ. But what things were gained to me, he says, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see, Paul's main thing was to know Christ. He was willing to go through whatever he had to go through so that he could know Christ more. And I submit to you this morning, that ought to be our aim as well, to really get to know and understand Christ. He was simply reminding the people that while he had made great progress, and many of us have, he was still pressing on and learning more on a daily basis. In the process of declaring this one thing I do, he goes on to share three things that make up that one thing, and we're going to look at them this morning. The first is forget what is behind. Galatians 3 and 13 says, forgetting those things which are behind. As Paul was sharing these words, he uses the illustration of athletic competition, and in particular, a runner who is running a great race. The focus is not on what is behind, but it's to be laser focused on the finish line that is ahead. Nobody runs a race looking behind them. Perhaps it was with physical eyesight, but perhaps not. But in marathon running, that finish line doesn't come into view until a little over 26 mile point. So the runner must have that finish line in their mind's eye to keep them going. Paul was a man who had many accomplishments in his life. He had a reason at times to be prideful if he chose to go there. But as we can see by a few verses prior, he could not go there. For he says in Philippians 3 and 4, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see, beloved, Paul was Jewish and had been a Pharisee or one of the teachers of the law. But in addition to that, he was also a Roman citizen, which carried with it a tremendous amount of privileges that many other Jews did not have. You talk about white privilege, he had Jewish privilege. It was almost as if Paul went to his spiritual trophy case, so to speak, and said, if anyone has a reason to have some pride, it would be me. But in verse 7, he said, he put it all back and said, what things we gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He knew if he was going to win in this great race that the focus must not rest in the rear view mirror and the accomplishments and even the failures of the past. When Paul declared that he was counting as lost all those things in the past, if he could simply know Christ more, it was quite a declaration to make. If he would have let his mind
wander to what could have been. I have little doubt he would have known that all the persecution, physical difficulties, prison sentence, and so much more could have easily been prevented by going back on his commitment to Christ. Yet Paul was not one to regret the decision he made to follow Christ. This brings me to the second point. Look forward to what is ahead. Do you hear me this morning? Look forward to what is ahead. Paul recognized the fact that despite all the victories in the past, he still had more spiritual heights to climb. Despite Ebenezer, a 118-year history, we still have spiritual goals as a faith community to achieve. The testimony of the apostle reminded the saints at Philippi, and it serves to remind believers today that there must never be a stalemate in spiritual growth or a plateau beyond which cannot be climbed. That's why we need Sunday school. That's why we need Bible study. Because we are still seeking spiritual growth. We cannot be on a plateau and say, I'm good because I've been to church 30, 40, 50 years. I thought about that word, stalemate, and looked it up. And in the sense of being used as a verb, it means this, to bring to a standstill. One of the greatest tricks of the enemy is to get you and I into a position of stalemate or standstill where progress, hear me now, is no longer happening. Hear me, Ebenezer. The enemy is winning when the local church is not fulfilling its mission, just marking time and maintaining status quo. This statement came into my mind. If you are not careful, your stalemate just could be the enemy's checkmate for your life. Beloved, I invite you to take a quick assessment. What are you doing? Go look in the mirror. What are you doing for the cause of Christ? Are you helping? Are you assisting in kingdom building? Or has checkmate occurred in your life? The problem with standstill is that when advance is no longer being made in our walk with the Lord, then drifting and backsliding is not far off. Those who continually look back live life full of woulda, coulda, shoulda, and are often tripped up more by the way, by the why did things happen, as opposed to the what is God wanting to do through me now as I move forward. If we ever begin to think that we have arrived, then we have moved out of the mindset Paul had here. We are in danger of becoming content with our life and no longer have a hunger or thirst to grow in God. You see, we cannot be satisfied with the status quo. My sports analogy for the day is this. I've seen this play out in various times, although it's not the rule, but more of the exception. Perhaps you are a player. A player is drafted to play on a football team out of college, and in his first two or three seasons, he plays with such tenacity that he begins to stack stats. Began to pile up his stats all that time. He knows if he can just play for that big contract when his time comes. Well, the day comes after a few years, and his agent is able to work out a deal that seems to be what will get him where he needs to be. Part of the battle, of course, is to take care of it and be a good steward. The other part of the battle is not to settle into a comfort zone and forget there's always younger and faster players coming behind to take his job. Now, we are living different lives than this, of course, as we are not competing against other people in this great race. But we are competing against the enemy of our souls and against the tendency towards apathy after moments of great victory. I would say this as well today to those of us who just came through a crazy year called 2020. First of all, the simple flipping of the calendar from one year to the next does not in the least mean those problems are now gone. There just may be a new set of problems this year. However, I would encourage you as believers in Christ to take a few moments to look forward to what is ahead. Don't ever stop living. Don't ever stop serving. Don't ever stop loving. People need Jesus. Making progress in God means we are willing to step out of our comfort zone and move into areas that may be different than what we are used to. But we know there's more. We have a tendency, beloved, to put God in a box and think God cannot be beyond that box. We have to think bigger. To get to the greater, we must leave the lesser behind. Pursue the new, one must let go of the old. To press on, one must first release. We cannot live only, hear me, we cannot live only on our past blessings, yet we can use them as springboards to the new thing God wants to do in us. I pray that I never get to the place in my spiritual walk that all I can think about are the good old days or reminisce about the past. For I have found that the past always looks better than in what it really was. It's only pleasant because it isn't here now. We soon forget that those days were also filled with tremendous challenges. Lastly, I would say, press toward the goal. At first glance, one might surmise there's really no difference between point two of looking forward to what is ahead and point three, which is to press towards the goal. But Paul uses the word press twice within verse two. As we can see, Philippians 3 and 14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. While I have no real source to back this up other than what I feel in my sanctified spirit, it seems that looking forward to what is ahead is more focused on the process of moving ahead and all that it entails. Pressing towards the goal seems to be more about the final result, keeping that final destination or goal in our minds as we go through the process of living life and running the race. I believe if we forget there's a goal, then the process becomes more difficult. And most likely, it's why many have chosen to give up with only the race partially finished. We have to understand why we do the things we do and for what cause we do it. We just don't come in this building just to meet and have our ministry meetings. We come to save souls. What is our mission? What is our one thing? Our one thing is to know God and teach and train others to know God. I'm not sure most of us have seen runners at the end of a race that could be very close. They're leaning forward when they arrive at the finish line to get there before the runner beside them. There seems even be more of a sense of urgency than before as they near the end. Again, we are not running against each other, but we are battling against the enemy of our souls and even our own weariness at times. Paul's one thing was not about running the race, although that was part of it. His one thing or goal was to know him. The goal was not just to get to heaven one day, although that's part of it. His goal was to know him. His goal was not just to endure hardness as a good soldier, but it was to know him. As we continue in this year, many people are setting many different goals for their lives. Where after this pandemic is over, I'm going to travel. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to find me a new job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Yet with all of that, I pray that all of us remember the main goal we should be focusing upon, and that is to know God. It doesn't mean we don't have other goals, but we do need to remember the importance of keeping one thing the main thing. Beloved, the main thing is to know God. We need to know God because in our knowing, we will serve God better. In our knowing, we will serve God's people better. And in our knowing, we will serve our communities better. In our earthly living, we must ask the Lord to help us to think on the heavenly things, not to the point we're no earthly good, but that we might know this world and its ways are not our home. There is a saying that goes like this: if you would hit the mark, you must aim a little above it. For every arrow that flies feels the attraction of the earth. I really believe with all my heart, if we make our one thing the same as Paul, which is to know God, then the Lord our God has an amazing way to bless us with other things we are in need of as well. For the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I want to know God. When we truly know God, we trust God through everything, and we put God first. Too many of us have disconnected ourselves from God. We do not know God like we should. And oftentimes we trade him for a routine, a ritual, or a religion. There seems to be this general refusal to surrender ourselves to his authority in our lives. So many think that because they accept the name or the title, or that they show up at the right place at the right time, and they are somehow a part of the redeemed children of God. But if you really want to know him, you must put him first. I don't know about you. I want a genuine relationship, not a relationship based on ritual, not a relationship based on routine, not a relationship based on religious attendance. I want to know God. Because when you really know God, you understand that when there seems to be no way, the Lord will create a way. You understand when there seems to be no present hope, the Lord will give us hope. When you really know God, you will understand when there seems to be no present joy, in Christ, we will discover new joy. When you know God, you understand that when there seems to be no remaining strength, we will declare that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When you know God, we must follow where he leads. We must listen when he speaks. We must give when he expects. We must desire when he offers. We must claim when he promises. And we must see when he reveals. My one thing is to know God better than I've ever known him before. The word of God for the people of God. And all of God's people said, amen. We're going to open the doors of the church. Perhaps there's someone that's listening today that really wants to know God. We're extending an invitation to you right now. Perhaps you know that you've just been marking time. Now is the time to make your commitment to Almighty God. We're opening the doors of the church. We are a loving church. We are a friendly church. And it is my desire, my honor, to extend the invitation to you to join with us here at Ebenezer. Is there one today? Perhaps you don't even live in this city. Perhaps you've been watching us electronically. We want to partner with you. Well, we're asking those of you who are interested in being a part of Ebenezer and giving your life to the Lord, we're asking you to just email us, send us your email address. And one of our deacons, our church clerk, will follow up with you and extend the invitation more formally. We're opening the doors of the church. As our musicians play and sing, won't you come? Don't wait. Don't hesitate now. Here's the time. Now is the time to give your life to the Lord. Now is the time to get in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Now is the time to move as the Lord is calling you right now. Is there one? You can come by letter. You can come by Christian experience. You could come as a convert. We're looking forward when we can take some folks down in the water to become baptized. Is there one today? Hallelujah. 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 Jesus,
I worship.
We worship and adore you because you're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you. Hallelujah. Christ our Lord invites us to this his table, all who love him and seek to grow in his likeness. I invite you now to make your humble confessions to God as we prepare to celebrate this communion.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, O God, because you loved us so much that you were willing to lay down your life for us. God, we love you today, and we thank you for your sacrifice. May now, O God, these elements become for us your body that was broken and your blood that was shared. Allow it, O God, to cleanse us as we renew our commitment to you and to your church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. This represents the bread that was broken, the body that was broken. The body that was broken for us. Take, eat, ye all of it to your comfort. In like manner, this cup represents the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As often as you drink this, you do so in remembrance of him. Drink ye all of it to your comfort. Hallelujah. We hope and we pray that this will be the next first Sunday that we have, that we'll be able to commune together in person. I know that we have talked about being back in the building Palm Sunday, which is the last Sunday of this month, and then Easter Sunday will be a communion Sunday, amen. So we pray that we will be ready. Please give your ministry team, your trustees and deacons time to make certain that we have all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed, to make certain that we, when we return in person, that we do it the right way. We're going to ask in advance for your patience. We're going to ask you in advance for your patience, because we have to get this right. And we do not want to put our church at risk, and we don't want to put our members at risk. Do you hear me today? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Minister Dr. King to offer our benediction as we depart today.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. The church said amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm gonna tell you the truth. Even this morning, You know, I'm All In by Miranda Curtis. Miranda Curtis, I'm All In. Even this morning, I was trying to think, how could we do this? And some say, not till Jesus come back. Look, I feel the same way about this one, but it sounds good.
Third Sunday.
As I hold was bound, you let me see.
Amen.